This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of World Sweeper and executive director of World Sweeping Association. We are speaking with Gene Torrones, who is the president of Sooner Sweeping, LLC. They are located in Oklahoma, and they are the featured contractor for April 2013. So congratulations on that, Gene.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about your company. We haven't had many from the heartland of America, and I'll be interested to see if things are different there and in terms of sweeping and other items. If you would, just go ahead and talk about how you started the business and why and those kinds of things, and then we'll move forward from there.
I started the business in 2007. I had just sold my previous business to my partner, and I was looking for something new to get into. I actually read an article in Entrepreneurial Magazine about a guy that came back from, I believe it was Iraq, and he lived down in Louisiana, and he started a sweeping company. And his story was really interesting, and it kind of caught my attention. Seemed like something I would enjoy doing. I'd never worked nights before. So I did some research about Tulsa, and it's Tulsa seemed like the amount of competition and the other demographics in the area. We were in a growth phase, and so we had a lot of new retail coming into the area, and a lot of new parking lots. And I was a salesman by trade, so I felt confident that I could, you know, if I did things the right way, that I could grow the company from, you know, just one person to, you know, as big as we could handle. So
I think a lot of times what happens is people that think, oh, well, I could work at night, or, you know, I don't like people all that much, so this will be great, get into this business, rather than people who have experience in sales, where that's, I think, the tough part is that with some experience and training, I think anybody can go out and sweep at night. Not everybody, but you know what I mean. It's a lot easier than the being professional and making the sales calls by day while you work at night as well. So I think that gives you definitely an advantage. And plus, you've had another business. What was the business you were in before?
I started selling cars to pay for college. I started selling cars when I was 19 to help pay for school. And I just worked my way up through the auto group very quickly. And sales was something I just kind of excelled at. In, let's see, 2001, I believe, I decided to leave the auto group, and with a business partner, we started our own little used car lot there in town. It went really well, and after 6 months, we ended up opening another. And we did that for a few years, and pretty successful, and it was a good time. And we had a bit of a falling out. The old money and friends don't mix cliche kind of happened to us, and I ended up selling my shares to him, and you know, like I said, look for something new to do.
Try to find a boss you could live with, or
yeah,
a partner you could live with yourself,
yeah, exactly.
As it turns out. Well, did you start with Schwartz Equipment? I see that's what you run today.
Yeah, I did. I bought my first Schwartz as a 348i. It was a used truck. Bought it from a guy out of California. His name escapes me right now, but, you know, it was a pretty beat-up, worn-out truck, and I got it over here on a flatbed and did a lot of reconditioning to it and got it where it was in a good, you know, mechanically sound, and did its job. We had that truck for probably 3 years before we traded it in on a new Schwartz. I've only ever used Schwartz equipment, and we're pretty happy with them so far. I do wish that they would offer an alternative fuel sweeper at this point, but, you know, that's hopefully something that'll happen down the line.
Well, and I know that you've investigated some alternative fuel choices, too. We'll talk about those in a few minutes.
Okay.
When you picked a 348, just for those people that might not be in the industry yet that are out there listening, you got a machine that has enough power to do construction cleanup and really some heavy-duty stuff in addition to just parking lot sweeping. So your first truck is very important, and to think about what it is your business plan is going to be is of paramount importance before you buy your first sweeper. So that is definitely a good all-around choice. It gives you a lot of versatility, is the 348 series. You can do some light street sweeping with that too, although the intake is on the wrong side, and you know there's some problems associated with that.
Right.
But for homeowners associations and those kinds of things, small areas, you can use it for those as well. And
yeah.
Did you just do sweeping when you got started?
Yeah, we did. I did. I just did sweeping. I was by myself for about a year and a half. I would sweep at night, you know, go home, get a few hours of sleep, wake up, put my, you know, selling clothes on, and go out and try to get more contracts to fill up my schedule. And that's really all I had time for. I was just, you know, running 100 miles an hour, it felt like, 7 days a week, trying to make it work. So, but we did, you know, eventually at the request of some of our clients, we added some additional services kind of one at a time as needed.
And it's gotten fairly large in terms of striping and pressure washing, especially flat surface cleaning, looks like.
Yes, it has. Pressure washing was the first service that we added at the request of one of our retail box stores. They asked me if I knew anyone in the business that might be able to service their store, and we started talking about price and what they used to pay and things like that, and so I kind of put the numbers together and decided it was something we wanted to get into, and now it's, you know, it's one of those services that really complements sweeping. You know, if you can't get a new customer's business on sweeping, then maybe you can get it with power washing and show them exactly what type of, you know, the quality of your work that you do, and, you know, start building that relationship and that rapport with the building owner and manager, and maybe somewhere down the line end up with their sweeping contract or end up with their striping job or end up with their snowplow contract or something like that. So, you know, they all kind of benefit each other in that way.
Yeah, they really do. And doing the, you know, kind of a menu proposal idea with different customers, I think, gives you flexibility, them flexibility. And when you were first going out to sell your company and, you know, you couldn't say, here's my list of references, you were just trying to get some clients. What did you find that really worked for you? What got their attention, or what kinds of questions could you ask to, you know, get your foot in the door and then ultimately get a contract? Were you seeing primarily customers that who just had a contractor? I mean, you looked around on their lot, it looked didn't look good, and so you talked to them, and that was your foot in the door, or what was it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would drive around just from out, you know, shopping or whatever. I just noticed the parking lot was dirty, and sometimes it's not easy to figure out who to actually talk to whenever you're just standing at a retail center looking at the parking lot. So what I would do is I'd look for any for lease signs that I could find that might give me a phone number of someone I could talk to, and maybe that's the manager, or maybe they know the phone number of the manager. So after a little bit of investigation, you can get on the phone with the right person. And from there, I would just, you know, say, hey, it looks like you might not have a parking lot sweeping service. You know, well, that's what we do. Is that something you might be interested in? And, you know, more times than not, they would at least look at the numbers. You know, yeah, give me an estimate. I'll take a look at it. I never wanted to be the cheapest company in town. That's not what we advertised. That's not what we're about. Because with sweeping, it's so competitive. You really get what you pay for, in my opinion, whenever it comes down to the money. And the way that I talk about my company with a new client, especially at the beginning, was from the customer service aspect. And I think that's one of the things that I learned a lot about in the car business and was able to, you know, kind of transition or segue that over to the sweeping business. You know, I answer my phone 24 hours a day. You know, there aren't a lot of sweeping companies out there, especially in my area, where you've got the owner's phone number and you can call them at any time, talk to them about anything. You know, I'm 20 minutes away from any contract that we've got, so, you know, I can be there in 20 minutes and we can talk about whatever issues they're having. Another thing that I do is to get around once a month at least to all of our sweeping clients. and just, you know, if I can, just spend 5 minutes with them. You know, if they've got the time, just go and shake their hand. You know, how are things going? You know, what are we doing wrong? What are we doing right? What can we change to keep you happy? And that gives them an opportunity to bring up maybe some smaller issues that they might be having. But if you don't address them in a timely manner, then, you know, eventually it seems like they might be able to build up into some sort of larger issue that you don't even know about. And then, you know, maybe the next thing you know, you're getting a phone call and you've been replaced by another company. So if you don't go in and talk to them on a regular basis, then you don't really have that opportunity to fix those small issues and make sure you keep a happy customer.
I think that's excellent advice. It is so easy to have those things kind of steamroll up to where somebody, you know, they may not even realize how unhappy they are, but when somebody else comes in the door and looks good, sounds good, then they're, you know, they can say, well, how about your company? Does it do whatever the problem is that they're seeing with yours?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is a lot of times it seems like those issues can be overcome by just something simple like changing their sleeping schedule. Or, you know, maybe their busy day is Monday. And so Monday night their parking lot gets, you know, looks real dirty. Maybe that's their day off from having, you know, been swept. Maybe they're, you know, 5 nights a week. And so if you just try adjusting their schedule, or even something like the time of night that your sweeper is scheduled to show up, maybe they need to be moved to the back of the end of the schedule. So you've swept them right before they open up, something like that, because, you know, they might have a 24-hour store next door where a lot of the trash flows over because they're not your sweeping customer. So, you know, a lot of the times, if you just talk about it, you can find a really simple solution that'll keep, you know, a really happy customer. And, you know, and that helps with your word-of-mouth advertising, which, you know, we all know is the best and cheapest advertising you can have. So,
well, I couldn't agree more. And keep in mind, especially contractors out there listening, and actually property managers, I'm sure some of your customers will end up listening to this audio, for example, is that you're an expert at what you do, and they're an expert at what they do. So what they see is a problem that they don't really know how to solve. So it becomes a problem to them because it's not the normal kinds of things that they're used to solving. So, you know, if they just communicate that with their sweeping contractor, probably that's one of the easy three that the sweeping contractor deals with all the time, and off the top of your head you can say, oh, well, let's just try this, and they're so relieved because they never thought of that. Oh, well, yeah, right. That's a great idea. So that's one point that I'd sure provide some validation for. The other one you talked about is the 24-hour customer next door who maybe isn't your customer, and maybe nobody's sweeping them. And as a contractor, think about what it takes to go sweep that customer next door, because it may be, especially if they have things like a chain link fence that's blown material, so you're having to go around the other side of the fence to pick the fence at their location anyway, because that's the way the wind blows, or and that sort of thing. If you're having to do that and deal with their trash anyway with your current customer, then think about what you can, you know, you can probably take a pretty good price and go over there and sweep that customer next door. For one, you're next door. For two, you're already having to deal with some amount of their trash anyway when it right. blows on to customer number two. So it's really worth it to, that's why companies that are side-by-side are great for a sweeping contractor to have. You don't have a bunch of windshield time in between, and you can also have sometimes some economies of scale by the fact that you're doing side-by-side companies. Let's talk about your alternative fuels. You've investigated alternative fuel a little bit, and what has that shown you?
Well, we've been looking at compressed natural gas I've been looking into it for about a year. I have an uncle that is all about alternative fuels. And he's been kind of preaching to me about propane for a long time, and he's always had a truck that runs on propane or natural gas or something. And I was talking to him last year, and
he's kind of the one that put it in my head to look into it for the sweeper trucks. And so after a lot of Googling, I was really kind of amazed to see the lack of products as far as trucks that are offered that would run on compressed natural gas. You know, there some people, I think Temco might make a larger street sweeping or highway sweeping, different offerings. And I hear that a lot of the manufacturers are starting to. I think you told me that they've had a few out at some trade shows or something like that.
But. Right, Nighthawk has shown one at the latest National Pavement Expo, but I'm not sure whether that's ready for prime time yet or not. But there is definitely a movement in that direction. I think you know, just in the country.
Yeah, I think it's pretty comfortable. But so I read some numbers and. I used some really neat gas cards, for one thing. That was my first step, was to figure out, I've got to know exactly how much gasoline and diesel we're burning every night and every month and every quarter, so that I can use that data to compare what would it look like if this was CNG, or what would it look like if we just had half of our fleet CNG. And they also make kits where you can burn half diesel, half CNG. It's like a fogger kit that actually kind of sprays the CNG into your air intake. And you can adjust that amount up and down until you have an optimum mix, an optimum ratio between diesel and natural gas, where your engine runs the best. These are all those aftermarket kits that are being offered. And really, I found out that'd be my cheapest route to get into it. Was to use those fogger kits on the diesel trucks, but you're still not completely weaned off of fossil fuels. But it is a step in the right direction.
What kind of price tag does that look like it is?
Well, installation we're going to do in-house, so that'll save us some money. I haven't really looked at installation costs, but the kits themselves are about $1,000. That doesn't include the tanks, and there's so many different options for tanks out there. That it's really hard to compare anything apples to apples. You just kind of have to see what's out there available in your area. You know, they make different size tanks, 10-gallon tanks, 20-gallon tanks. You can do multiple tanks. You know, for one, I went and bought two 10-gallon tanks. And so you can hook those up in series and effectively have, you know, 20-gallon equivalent of natural gas available. You know, and it depends on what your mounting locations are. On your sweeper, how much room do you have? Where are you going to put your tanks? You know, and that kind of dictates how much CNG you can carry on board. And those, I think I paid $1,000 per tank. So that's really where you can get into some money. And then as far as installation goes, like I said, I haven't looked into installation costs. But more important for me is compressed natural gas. In Oklahoma, for a gallon equivalent, is 90 cents right now.
That's huge.
And you compare that to $3.80 we're paying for diesel per gallon. I mean, it's just kind of obvious to me that we need to step in that direction.
And if there are, you know, fueling stations nearby, and that's the thing,
right,
with compressed natural gas, is that there, you know, basically are.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of lucky living in Oklahoma. We're such a large producer of natural gas that it kind of puts us out in the front as far as the fill stations go.
Mm-hmm.
We have 9 fill stations in my area within 15 miles. 6 of those stations are open 24 hours a day. So, you know, that really helps us out in that aspect.
Yeah, it really does. Well, I think that, especially with those kind of cost differentials, we'll sure see more of that, in that CNG apparently runs a little cleaner. I mean, it runs cleaner in terms of exhaust, certainly, but it also keeps your engine cleaner, so you should have some economies of scale there where the engines last longer as
well.
Yeah,
the engines last longer, and I also have been told that you don't. It limits the amount of oil changes you need if you're burning CNG. Because it burns so much cleaner, you can go from 5,000 miles every oil change up to you know, 7,500 miles every oil change, which on those diesels isn't cheap. So, you know, that's going to save you some money also.
Well, I look forward to hearing how that goes, and hope that you would keep us posted when, you know, about what it costs to put them in once you decide to make the switch, and how it actually turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. We're planning on getting started this summer, so I hope to have my first truck converted sometime in May, probably. So I'll definitely give you an update.
You know, I saw on your website a term that I hadn't seen before, and it's media blasting. What is that?
Oh, media blasting. That is any sort of sandblasting or any sort of steel shot that you could use. I also include soda blasting. And really, we offer that for paint removal. Whenever you're striping a parking lot, and you know, you've re-striped it 4, 5, 6 times over the years, that paint just gets really thick, and it just doesn't last as long because you have, you know, maybe this is the first time that we're re-striping it, and the last person might have applied the wrong paint or too much paint or too little paint, and it's chipping up. If you spray over the top of bad paint, you know, you still have bad paint underneath. So you're going to want to remove that paint. And if the pressure washers aren't doing the job, then you can come out with the media blaster and actually blast that paint off and end up with a nice clean surface to repaint over. And you're going to get more longevity out of your paint, and it's going to look better. And maybe you can change layout if you need to, get more parking spaces in there or move handicap stalls and things like that. So
sure.
Sometimes, you know, it just really helps you out with those restriping jobs.
Right. I was familiar with the concept of doing what you're talking about. I just had never heard it called media blasting, and it makes perfect sense that would be it. When you install wheel stops, and that's services you offer, and I'm looking on your website, lots striping, line painting, you replace and install signs and poles, warehouse floor striping, stenciling, marking, media blasting, curb painting, wheel stops. With the wheel stops, are you making your wheel stops, or do you order those regionally so shipping isn't too much?
Yeah, we have a local concrete company. It's a form cast concrete company, and they make a lot of those highway barriers and things like that. But it turns out they also make concrete wheel stops. And so, you know, they're probably 20 minutes from our shop, so we'll just head over there with a trailer or flatbed truck and pick up the ones we need. And I don't like to keep any extra inventory on those because they're, you know, the company's so close. And so, you know, we work out a deal with them and just go pick them up from their place.
Right. That makes perfect sense. And when you put poles in, that's a pretty hefty project. What kind of equipment does that need?
Well, it can be. You know, if we're installing those poles into an existing concrete sidewalk or parking lot, then we'll use a core drill. It's one of those, I think we have a Hilti, you know, drill. It's like an oversized drill press. It's got a water attachment to it, so it sprays water to keep the drill bit from overheating. And it actually works pretty quickly. You just cut the hole big enough for the pole and for your concrete. And, you know, obviously first make sure and have someone come out. It's called Oki. They'll come out and locate all of your underground pipes and wires and lines and things so you make sure you're not going to cut a gas line or a water main or something like that. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward.
I noticed that on your site you list that the sweeper is a Rule 1186 certified through the South Coast Air Quality Management District. Is that something that, I mean, I know that it's available through Schwartz literature, but and my understanding is that the 348 was grandfathered in from the A4000. I'm not sure it was actually tested, but it's the same sweeper essentially as their A4000, which did go through that testing. You're just flipping the intake and the exhaust head around, you know, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that people care about there?
You know, I've never had it come up, but you know, I think it will in the future. It seems like, as far as environmental standards go, California seems to always be at the front. And then, you know, once they've made an environmental rule, it seems like then it slowly works its way east, just like water reclamation for power washing. You know, we don't have any regulations yet statewide, but we know it's coming. And so, you know, we make preparations for, you know, to be ready for that whenever it is mandated. Rather than, you know, getting surprised by something like that and then realizing, oh, man, now we have to go spend $20,000 to stay compliant, to, you know, so that we can keep working. But no, it's never come up in Oklahoma as far as any sort of sales or with any customers as of yet.
Well, one of the things of putting something like that on your website, though, I think it forestalls people. I mean, it's certainly not a negative. Even if somebody doesn't understand what it means, they think, oh, well, that's, you know, we've got to be impressive that there's an agency that's checked off on it. So it just means you have to do a little less due diligence as a potential customer than you might otherwise. I saw that you list that you are uniforming your employees. Did you just start out doing that, or how did that transition?
Well, no, I didn't start out doing that whenever it was just, you know, whenever I was the only employee. But once I started hiring other employees, and, you know, I'd been sweeping my customers for a year and a half, and I was the only person that they knew. So, you know, I just wanted, you know, say a store manager shows up early in the morning and he sees some guy out there in just some dingy clothes sweeping his parking lot. You know, I want him to see our logo and say, oh, well, that's Sooner Sweeping. You know, they're doing their job. They're doing what they should. Also, our uniforms are bright and reflective, and so there's a safety factor there. You know, you're sweeping a parking lot at night, and you don't want anybody getting hit or anything like that. So, you know, and plus I like to put my name on our work. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that they don't like to have stickers on their trucks. They don't like to have their employees, for whatever reason, with their logos on their shirts and things like that. And I've never understood that. But I want people to know that, you know, yeah, we swept that lot, and that's why it looks so good.
Well, I agree completely. You do need your logo on everything that you do. You have it on your trucks. You have it on your shirts. You have it every place. And you definitely want to, if you're going to be a professional company and want to build a reputation, then that's what needs to occur. I don't understand at all why people would leave their trucks blank whatsoever. And, of course, I've even heard a few stories about people buying used trucks and, you know, not even changing the name over from the previous guy. So that's a cautionary tale. When you're selling a truck, you might want to do a little media blasting to make sure that your signage is off the truck before it goes away from you. In fact, I
hadn't thought of that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, definitely recommend that you would do that. Is there anything else that's unique about the Oklahoma marketplace that you would think of? I know you certainly get some amount of snow, so spring cleanup must be significant some years, which, again, a 348 is a good heavy-duty class sweeper can handle that. But, you know, what else? Is there anything else out there that makes sweeping where you are different than sweeping in other parts of the country, do you think?
Well, recently, it seems like just the past couple of years, the wind, the amount of wind that we've had in Oklahoma has just been off the charts. I mean, just straight line wind. We had 40 mile an hour wind gusts. It seemed like all last week or 2 weeks ago, and we couldn't do any striping because of the overspray, you know, issues. And you want a nice crisp line. And also, it really slows you down whenever you're sweeping out here in these parking lots. You know, parking lots obviously wide open spaces. It lets that wind blow right through. And so, you know, whenever you're out there blowing off the sidewalks or things like that, you know, you're out there chasing the same trash around as the wind blows it back where you blew it away from and things like that. So, you know, it's just can't do anything about it. So you just try to stay as efficient as possible and kind of deal with it and hope it goes away. We also get a lot of ice. You mentioned sand cleanup. Oklahoma gets more ice than snow, it seems like. And so there's a lot of sand that's dumped on these parking lots. And so spring cleanup's pretty big for us. We do a lot of sweeping for up at the airport, for example, after a big ice storm. we'll come up there and sweep all of the sand away from the tarmac, so the jets don't suck them into their turbines and whatnot. But other than that, I'm assuming it's similar to most other parts of the country.
Well, just the idea of sand, there being a lot of sand, takes a different class of sweeper, too. I mean,
sure.
If you're going to have a lot of sand buildup, you don't want to be out there with a single-engine sweeper because it's just not as efficient. There's no question. Is there anything that we have missed, you think, in talking about Sooner sweeping and Oklahoma sweeping?
Not that I can think of. I definitely encourage everyone to check out our website and World Sweeper Association's website. If anyone's looking to learn anything else or pick up any other tips, I know I learned a lot on worldsweeper.com over the years.
Well, I appreciate that. We do have the largest amount of total sweeping information at worldsweeper.com, so I appreciate the plug. And the new World Sweeping Association, worldsweepingpros.org, you can see all a starter of all the information that's there, but you do have to be a member to be able to really get into the meat of most of the articles. Your Sooner Sweeping website is a very nice site, so I do also encourage people to go and take a look at that. It's an example of a new, what I call the new era of technology websites. It's really well done, and so somebody did a nice job for you, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of that website, you reminded me of one thing. I've gotten so many calls from potential customers saying the only, the reason they called me was because we had a website and it was professionally done. That's one thing about maybe being in this state. I'm not sure, but a lot of the other sweepers in my area, they don't have websites or any sort of web presence. And that just really surprised me.
Yeah, it's astonishing to me that's the case as well. We just have added a number of World Sweeping Association members, and there's got to be at least a half dozen that did not have websites, and it's astonishing to me that you would not have a website. And anybody listening to this interview, for example, where are you listening to it? You're listening on the web, so
right.
There are a lot of other people out there doing that same thing.
Well, and it's the cheapest way to get your name out there, in my opinion. I mean, you look at like the Yellow Pages or any of those directories, the books that they throw on your doorstep. I mean, those are going to go away eventually. And what really surprised me is, in order to get on their website, say any of those Yellow Book Pages type websites, you have to pay to be in their paper book. And that really frustrated me as a business owner, that I had to pay extra money to be in something I don't believe is working, in order to get on the web with them, and improve my search placement and things like that. But I think in the future, hopefully in the short future, they'll start offering some sort of web only advertising program for small businesses, because it really is obviously the where everything's headed.
Well, there's no question, and I agree. And for anybody that is listening and doesn't have a website, that doesn't mean you're not on the web, because
right.
your company information is gleaned by this company, that company, and they do a more or less good job of it. I've seen a number of companies without websites, and their phone number will be wrong, or their address will be the one they had 5 years ago, and those kinds of things, which really makes you look unprofessional. But if you have a website, then that's the information that comes up at the top, and then it's all that info is, it's structured to be the way you want it to really be the truth about your company and bring you out. Now, when I'm at your website, I get your logo, so then I say, oh, that is that truck I saw over there that's doing a real good job.
Yeah,
Even
if you don't have a website, or you can't afford to have one build it, whatever, at least go claim those listings that you're talking about. Like Google Maps, they've gleaned that information somewhere, and like you said, it might be wrong, but you can claim that listing and edit it and make it accurate. And whenever someone Googles sweeping
Atlanta or where you're working from, then you're going to improve your the amount of phone calls and page visits and things like that, and make it more likely for someone to, you know, get in touch with you the right way, the way you prefer.
And if you don't want to get a phone call, instead, you can have them on your website and they can see a lot of information, and then their questions are a lot better about your company. They're not asking starter questions, they're asking, because they already know, in your case, oh, this is a full-service CAM company. They're not
exactly,
you know, just sweeping and so forth. So, well, I appreciate the input. You're obviously running a professional outfit there, Gene, and that's good to hear. I'm not surprised that you would be doing well in your marketplace, and I've always had a special place in my life or in my heart for Tulsa since I did some concert promotion early in my career with an agency that was out of Tulsa, and we did people like Mel Tillis and Don Williams and so forth with a club I ran in Colorado for a year. So I haven't been to Tulsa, but I certainly do have a warm spot there because we certainly enjoyed, I think it was called the Halsey Agency that we had that from. That was seems like a lifetime ago.
So we definitely like our country music down here. If you're ever in the area, just give me a call and I'll be happy to show you around.
Well, I can't imagine if I was there that I wouldn't come knocking on your door, and because it's always nice to see the sights with a local, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we've been speaking with Gene Torrones, and Gene is the president of Sooner Sweeping LLC. They're located in the Tulsa area, and we much appreciate the information you provided about your company, and it's clear that you certainly should have a place as a featured contractor with us. So thanks again for the information, Gene, and we'll be back in touch.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Ranger. It's been an honor.